That was District 30 Representative Gary Knopp. And finally, we've got District O Senator Peter Michicki.
You know, it was interesting this year because aside from the fact that we saw the challenges coming forward, right? We watched the market after the COVID results. We watched the market crash, stock market. Of course, we have always fallen back on the fact that we had a almost $68 billion permanent fund with $16 billion in the earnings reserved, and we watch, you know, $10 billion of that evaporate. At the same time, oil came down from a pretty healthy near $60 range to, I think we saw 18 at some point last week, right? So we walked into the session being at $1.5 billion in the hole and then watched it grow by many hundreds of millions of dollars. Also taking down the POMV draw that we'd grown to depend on, which had, you know, surpassed other revenue fairly substantially. So we were watching that and then realized that with the COVID-19 issues that we were going to have to expedite the session, right? We left nearly a month early, which I found ironic because we could prove to the people of Alaska that we can be done on time when some of the senior members are worried about their own personal health. We are in recess. There is more work to do, but I think the result of the budget, I'm not happy with the budget. I had a very difficult time voting for the budget. The way that it was set up is, of course, it had a poison pill. The House did not want a PFD in the budget. They didn't feel like we could afford any PFD at all. The Senate, when we passed our budget, I voted to add a $1,000 fall PFD and a $1,000 spring stimulus PFD, which was designed to get people through these tough couple of months with the various businesses being shut down because of COVID-19. When it went through the iterations and conference committee, it came back with one fall PFD, which we don't know what the world looks like in October. I was extremely disappointed. But the poison pill, the choice we had was supporting that budget with a $1,000 fall PFD, or if we didn't support it and the funding with a three-quarter vote, it would drop down to a $500 PFD. At this time, when so many people are struggling and wondering where their next payment, or perhaps in some cases, refrigerator full of food is coming from. So I had a very difficult time. They were ingenious in the way they set it up, and I don't mean that as a compliment. But I felt that my choice was clear. I posted about that the next morning, which became somewhat viral on people understanding the situation we were put under. And I felt like that was the best choice for my constituents at this time. It was interesting because during the budget negotiations, you know, when the Senate would meet on the various issues and they added the $30 million for education, they added the school bond debt reimbursement and some of the other things to the budget that the House wanted, and it was almost done tongue-in-cheek knowing that the governor would remove that in vetoes, sort of setting it up for him to take the hit, even though we know, looking at these numbers for next year, that we are going to have to make very, very difficult choices. So when you look at that list of vetoes, I think Alaskans should realize that this is likely what the next couple of years is going to look like. The governor did not cut the base student allocation, but he did remove the $30 million and the school bond debt reimbursement. So as we walk into next year looking at this, you know, the when we left, the budget was $5.34 billion total budget, with the permanent fund dividend at $680 million, the total operating and capital at $4.664 billion. He vetoed it down to 5.15, so a couple hundred million out of the past budget, and also vetoed the $1 billion transfer to the corpus. I insisted that he veto that $1 billion for inflation proofing, because we may need that money. We're walking into a very tough time. What's going to be remaining in the CBR balance as we begin thinking about next year is $537 million. Not enough. And we have no idea what the earnings reserve is going to look like. It could very well, when this market settles out, be down in the, perhaps $2 billion range as well. So now is the time for sort of a day of reckoning for constituents to reach out and tell people like me, inform me, what are your priorities? Because we're going to get down to the very basics in the Constitution. That is education, public safety, transportation, public health and safety. I mean, these are the very basics that we're going to have to get down to. And for those out there saying, hey, well, it's just time for an income tax, I will tell you that there are not enough people in the state of Alaska in a healthy economy to make up that gap, let alone making it up at this point. So these tough choices are going to be reality this year. And we need to know where people prioritize state spending, because it's only priorities will survive this next year.
Is it, as you say, it's tough to do an income tax in Alaska. Is it time for a sales tax then?
Well, I talked a lot this year. I actually wanted to get a balanced approach done, and I didn't think that it should all come out of the permanent fund dividend. I thought it should be an all-in, low and broad approach. So I had a plan drawn up that actually balanced us before the market crashed and oil went down to $18, and let's say in the 20s, which is sort of where it's been right now. I had an increase in oil taxes, industry taxes, I guess I should say, because it was more spread than just oil and gas, of about $140 million. It had a 3% sales tax, low and broad, no exemptions statewide. We talked about a smaller dividend, but still one of substance. And a spending limit, which is going to be a requirement for us to survive this. And that was based on a 5-year trailing average of Anchorage CPI, that we could not climb above that amount. And that balanced prior to the crash. Now things have gotten even tougher. So it would help if we had a balanced approach and still paid a notable PFD and had those other impacts and other broad-based taxes that hopefully passed and were executed. But even with those things at this point, we're still going to have a gap. So fairly significant cutting is going to have to be a part of survival, at least for the next couple of years. And I talked about as being, so we have the four pages of vetoes in front of us. I'm concerned about some of them, concerned about some of the cuts to fish and game. I mean, some of the industries that can still operate this summer. Some of the cuts I support very much so, but the reality in the long term is that we're going to have to get back together and evaluate the impacts of those cuts and possibly initiate some additional cuts that we had not considered before. However, all of that necessitates that the legislature stop focusing on the next election and look at real life math about what it's going to take to survive this until we see more of a recovery on not only our key industries, but on the market itself. What do I mean by that? No one was interested in talking about a sort of low and broad all-in approach this year. They were interested in figuring out how we can get out of there and save as much funding for the government as possible. They seem to disregard the struggle that certainly folks in my district are going through right now. I mean, not only for those that may have somewhat of federal relief coming in, but the gig economy that likely has nothing coming in the meantime. The hairdressers and the food servers and the folks that sell firewood and things like that. I mean, those people are really struggling. I think the legislature showed a complete detachment to the function of government at a time like this. I mean, we passed bills for appropriations related to COVID-19 that were somewhat significant. Those funds were $115 million. That's good. Those are things that are necessary for dealing with the initial COVID-19 response. But why couldn't they understand how important it was to shift a fall PFD payment to a spring stimulus when people are struggling and wondering where their next meal is coming from in some cases? And we heard statements, some that were somewhat racist in nature, but really, I don't think there are bad people in the legislature. I think there are some that are completely disconnected from the needs of the average Alaskan. And I think we saw a lot of that on that decision to not allow a spring payment when people need it most.
As you said, you guys are in recess at the moment and could go back. Do you see the legislature needing to do more this year for COVID response? Or do you think the way things are looking at the federal level, I mean, there's so much up in the air, but are you thinking you will or should go back yet this session?
I'm advocating that we go back and change the fall payment to spring. And we have other fine points to work on with the administration on this final budget. We have to first evaluate with the vetoes how much of that funding it will actually be covered by the federal response, and if we have to adjust that in final form. But the key issue for me is getting back together as soon as it's possible and as soon as it's safe to get earlier payments out to the people of Alaska. Many legislators decided that the federal dollars were going to be coming relatively quickly, but no one, the federal government could not possibly have responded as quickly as a supplemental FY20 payment through the Permanent Fund Division. That could have happened in days. And it's clear, here we are weeks later, and there's still no deposit from the federal response. Again, you're completely discounting the effects on the gig economy. There are people that need help, not only in this district, but around the state. And I really feel like even though we did good things in the COVID response bills as far as not having evictions that are based on inability to pay, not having foreclosures on the inability to pay until we sort of climb out of this, front-end loading a family of four with $4,000 at this time would have certainly relieved the stress and in some cases helped people to survive in a more healthy manner than their ability to do so, wondering if there's when the federal response is going to occur and whether or not they're even qualified for that response. So I think we do have to get together as soon as possible. I don't think that even if the governor announces some openings of some industries here in the next few weeks, there will be some that remain closed. And my guess is that the ones that are going to remain closed are going to be for those Alaskans that are the most vulnerable right now.
And there was obviously a lot of other bills kind of left in process when it came time to get out of Juneau. Are there other things that you would like to address if you're able to go back or just have to wait till next session?
There are some other key bills that should be dealt with this year. They can be brought back on a call. It's unlikely that we get back together before the 121st day. So if you remember in other short special sessions, we brought some key bills back in the form they left the past session in the same committee or condition they were in when we left the regular session. I think there's half a dozen bills or so that should be dealt with this year, and I think they will be. So just the calendar will tell. We'll sort of see how things look on the effects of COVID-19 when folks are comfortable, when the health professionals are comfortable with sort of allowing people to get together and do some things. I think one key mistake is we were pushing a bill that would have allowed us to operate remotely. And there was resistance for that bill from certain members of the legislature. I'm still sort of scratching my head on that one. Everyone else in the world is operating remotely, and we should have had an emergency procedure for voting via Zoom or some other current technology that would have allowed us to operate remotely without putting people at risk. That needs to be revisited. We don't know where COVID-19 goes in the next few months. So I think some of those things will happen. I think many are focused on some of those key bills, and I would like to see several of them get across the finish line. The ones that shouldn't get across the finish line won't. That's just generally how it works out. That's how our system functions well. But many should, and we absolutely have to complete the capital budget process.
All right. I think those are the specific ones I had for you, but is there anything else that you'd want to comment on or that you think would be good for folks to kind of keep in mind, along with all of the giant question marks that no one can answer at the moment?
Well, I think we need to work together. I do ask people to sort of check on their neighbors. I do ask people to reach out to my office if there are people that are falling through the cracks. This is going to be a tough summer, and that may spill over into the fall. What's absolutely necessary is that we have pandemic procedures in place. It's just kind of funny because in industry, we've had pandemic plans for probably 20 years. And I just feel like the state and not only the state, but nationally in the global economy needs to be better prepared with some teeth in a response plan that keeps infections local so that we can't afford this kind of impact on a global economy every few years. And Alaska has really been hit. Look at our key industries. I mean, you've got oil and gas, you've got tourism, you've got fishing. All of our key industries are dramatically impacted by this COVID-19 and sort of the lack of a plan. So we're all in this together. I know people get tired of hearing that, but please watch out for your neighbors, and hopefully we will be better prepared in the future if we have this kind of an impact so that we can respond more effectively without having this kind of a apocalyptic impact to our economy and can sort of weather the storm without it being so incredibly widespread.
And we will have to leave it there. Thank you to Representatives Ben Carpenter and Gary Knopp and Senator Peter Michicki. I'm Jenny Nyman. This has been the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM, KenaiSoul.na, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.